Good morning, everybody. How are we? We're good? Who's had a good week this week? Oh, one or two of you. Oh, great. Bear that in mind, because I want you to think in a little while about your week again, the week you've just had since last Sunday. Okay? When I was growing up in the northeast of England in Middlesbrough, yay, good old Middlesbrough, we were taken every Sunday by, my parents to the Salvation Army there in Middlesbrough. And most Sundays, there was one man that I avoided. I went nowhere near him. If he was in that aisle, I'd be in this aisle with my head below the chairs, sneaking by so he wouldn't see me. And the reason for that is that every time he saw me, he said, "David, are you keeping well saved? Are you keeping well saved?" And I knew as a little boy, what he was asking me was, have you been good this week? Now, some Sundays I had been good during the week, so I sought him out. I would say, me, ask me. Because I could say yes. But most Sundays, I would hide away from him because he would say, "David, are you keeping well saved?" And for me, as a boy, it meant, was I being good? But there's much more to that. And our next slide really says this question. And this is the theme for this morning. Is, are you walking as children of light? Are you walking as children of light? Our message this morning is not an easy message, because Paul doesn't pull any punches in the scripture we're going to share today. If I have moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, if I am saved, if I've given my heart to Jesus Christ, that has to make a difference. It must make a difference in how I live my life. If my daily walk with God is not revealing more of the glory of God in my life, what is that saying about my salvation? What is that saying about that moment when I said yes to Jesus? How I live my life in the secret places of my life during the course of the week is not only significant to me, but it's also significant for you. How I live my life is important for you. This morning, as we came, Sheer and I came in to the school, somebody in the church approached Sheila and I with something burdening their heart, and they said, "David, Sheila, can you pray for this situation?" And they shared this very challenging, difficult situation that they were experiencing at that moment, and we were able to pray with this person. Imagine if I had walked in this morning and I'd been sinning all week, walking away from God, doing everything wrong, and I put on my Sunday clothes and I walked in, but my heart was not right, and I was approached by that person, "Can you pray for me?" Can you imagine how I would feel, or how my prayer would be? It would be weak. It would be from the flesh. It wouldn't be from the spirit. It wouldn't be God flowing through me because of how I've been living my life during the week. So how I live as a Christian is important for you. And how you live is important for me, because we're part of the body of Christ. So what happens to you affects me. And what happens to me affects you. And that really is the challenge that we're going to be unpacking today in this verse of Scripture. But I'd like to just reinforce this and illustrate it. What I'd like you to do is hold hands with a person next to you. Just hold hands, okay? Is everybody connected to at least one other person? All right? Now, for a moment, just reflect upon the week you've just had. And ask yourself this question: have I walked closely with the Lord? Has it been a good week? Okay, just think about it. Think about your week and your relationship with God during this week. Now listen to this. I shall only say this once, okay? I want you, if you've had a bad week, a difficult week, a challenging week, I want you to keep your hands down, okay? If you've had an okay sort of week, I want you to raise one hand in the air. Okay, not now, but hang on to the person whose hands you're holding on to. You can't let go of their hand. If you've had a really brilliant week where everything has been great, I want you to raise both hands. So, bad week, you do not move your hands. You keep holding the other person's hand, but you do not move. If you've had a reasonable week, just raise one hand. All right, do it. See what it's like. See how it feels. Yes. Some of you are struggling. Why did you raise your hand if you rose it? Is it because the other person rose their hand? Did you do it because you wanted to keep up appearances? You wanted to do it because you didn't want other body. You can put your hands down now. If you didn't want them to know how you've really been during the week. But now you know something about the other person. You know if they kept their hands down. You know if they rose one hand or rose both hands. You know something about the sort of week that they have had, how their walk with the Lord has been this week. And this is what we're going to be looking at in our message today. Can you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5? We're just going to read the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is following on. You may remember a couple of weeks ago that Alison shared and spoke on the last verse of the previous chapter. And these two verses follow on from that. And Alison spoke about that as children of light, we are to be kind and we are to be forgiving. We have to share the fruit of the Spirit. And these two verses that we've just shared follow on from that. We should be living as children of the light. People who have moved from darkness, from their sin, and moved into the light and the love and the presence of God. And Paul stresses here, doesn't he, that in Christ we see the model of love, of kindness and forgiveness. We are to follow God's example. The indescribable love, which we've been singing about, of God is the basis for everything that Paul says to the Ephesians. I can love you, you can love me, because we've experienced the love of God through Christ Jesus. Amen? I can love you, you can love me, because we share this experience of the love of God. And in our relationships with each other, we show the love of God that He initiates in our lives. We can be kind, we can be forgiving, we can be loving because we've experienced that ourselves from God. And in verse 2, we are called to walk in the way of love. You may recall from a previous Sunday when we looked at Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 17, it says this. We see that unbelievers walk in sin and in the futility of their thinking. But we walk in the way of love. We are called to walk the path of sacrificial love. And Paul describes it here as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is how we are called to be as Christians, to follow Christ's example of sacrificial love. Our relationship with God, who we are as followers of Christ, as Christians, has to make a difference in how we live. Does everybody agree with that? Yeah, amen. We are different. We are called to be different. We are called to be children of light in the darkness of the world. So that's great. Paul starts off really well. Reminds us of who we are in Christ. Nice message. I could finish there and we could all go home feeling, oh, wasn't I blessed? I'm a child of God. I walk in the light. And that's good to be reminded of that, isn't it? It is good to be reminded. But for us, Paul continues. And we turn now to the verse 3 of chapter 5 through to verse 7. But among you, then must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Wow. Don't you wish I'd stopped at verse 2? Yeah? And this section, these words, contains a major theme of the book of Ephesians. We are called to be children of light, and therefore we can have nothing more to do with darkness. We as Christians must reflect kingdom values. Paul is very clear and direct in what he's saying in these verses. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't soften it so we feel a little bit uncomfortable, but okay. He is saying this sort of behavior is not acceptable as a Christian. He begins these verses by teaching about sexual immorality. The hallmark of the Roman Empire was decadence. And the church, the people who were in Ephesus, part of the church, had grown up with sexual depravity of all kinds all the time around them. That was life in Ephesus. It was known for it. And no doubt, many of the people in the church had engaged in those activities. When you think about it, what were they saved from? They were saved from the depravity of their living. So they had been doing all the stuff that was around them, worshipping idols, engaging in sexual orgies, all that sort of stuff. That's what the people in the church had been doing. But then they met Jesus, and they heard about Jesus, and they turned to it, to him, away from how they had been living. Because Paul says very clearly, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Such conduct is incompatible with us walking in love. We can't do it. Sanctification and sexual immorality cannot coexist in anyone's life. Sexual sin can have no place in a Christian's life. It's not me saying this, it's the Word of God. And we need to get real with these sort of situations here. We all face challenges, don't we, in our world today? Our world has become incredibly sexualized, hasn't it? We see it everywhere. In advertisements, subtly in advertisements and not so subtly in advertisements. We see it on the television. We know it's on the computer. And for many Christians, they are addicted to pornography. And the challenge then is, if that's the situation, how can you then follow Christ and be used by him? So like the Ephesian church, we are surrounded all around by sexual immorality. It's within the church. It's crept in. And we are called to be children of light, not walking in darkness. So Paul doesn't mince his words here. He's saying very clear to the Ephesian church, if you call yourselves followers of Christ, you will have nothing to do with sexual immorality. And then he goes on to talk about two more sins. He talked about impurity and greed. And this is the second time that Paul has linked impurity and greed. You may recall in verse 19 of chapter 4, he says the same thing, coupling greed with impurity. And greed refers to covetousness, of wanting to possess something that is not your own. Whether that be wealth or status or position or someone else, or having something which is not yours but you want it. That was a problem in the Ephesian church. People wanted status, they wanted position. You can imagine it, can't you? If somebody has joined the Ephesian church who was in a position of authority, they will want that in the church. And we have it today in our churches. People who come and who are wanting to be recognized, who want to be affirmed, who want to be in positions of leadership. They're coveting that. And Paul says, no, no, no. That's not how you should be living as a child of light. And this concept of greed, of possessing something, is linked so closely with desiring something we don't have. And I think Paul links it to any kind of impurity, whether that's position, wealth, or anything. Again, Paul feels so strongly about it, he said, there must not even be a hint of it in the church. So he's talked about lewd conduct, and then he begins to address lewd speech. He says these sins must not even be named in the church. We must not even speak of them. Foolish talk, gossiping. We all know the damage that gossiping can do in any fellowship. It can destroy a fellowship. And Paul is saying, you must not be doing this. If you are walking in the light, you must not be gossiping, because it doesn't achieve anything. It just destroys. And it causes pain within the community of God's people. It then says coarse joking. Did you know that was in the... I didn't realize. But jokes. We all know about coarse jokes, with the little innuendo, the little sexual bit at the end, and we laugh. Maybe you're in a work situation where you're surrounded by people telling coarse jokes. What do you do about it? Do you take part? Does your silence give acquiescence to what has been said? When you meet with friends from the church, outside of the church here, do you engage in coarse joking? I'm guilty of that. Don't think I do it now. But I sometimes used to say something which was slightly off color. You know what I mean? I'm being honest here. But Paul said, no, this is, if you are walking in light, you don't do this. Instead, our speech must be full of thankfulness, and we must dwell upon what God has been saying to us. But what is the result of doing these things? Paul is very clear, and I think I haven't had a chance to hear your sermon, Damien, since getting back from holiday, but I think you were looking at some of these verses here. But what he says is, we will lose our inheritance and we will face divine wrath. Paul leaves no doubt as to the consequences of engaging in these activities. We sometimes can believe and think that God can be part of our lives and we can live more in the world than in the church and still feel that we can make it to heaven. So many people think that all they have to do to gain eternal life is to believe in Jesus Christ, but their lifestyle is not part of that process. We may lose some of our eternal reward, but we'll still make the cut. Somehow, because we believe in Jesus, we'll get there. But Paul is saying, no. You are putting at risk your eternal salvation, our inheritance in heaven. And we face God's wrath. We face going to hell. It's a difficult message, isn't it? And in verse 6, Paul says, let no one deceive you. And then he goes on to describe what would happen. We are loved by a merciful God, and his mercy is great. And he wants to equip us and encourage us to walk as children of light. And in 1 John 3:6 it says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. It's one thing to fall into sin, and we all do that, because none of us is perfect. But it's quite another to engage in an ongoing pattern of sinning. Some of us may have a prevailing sin which we struggle with, which gets us down all the time. And the key thing is not to persist in that sin, but get some help. Get some prayer. Get some ministry. It's interesting, verse 5, isn't he? He talks about the kingdom of Christ and of God. He uses that for us, the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's the only verse of time in Scripture that's ever said. It's always about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Christ and of God. And I think this is because he is speaking of the kingdom of Christ in this world and the kingdom of God in the next. That we can now, we are kingdom people, we can experience heaven here on earth now because we are children of light. And if we walk in darkness, we are putting everything at jeopardy. So we look forward to our eternal inheritance, but we also have what God gives us now. Let's read the next verses, Ephesians 8 through to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. We've all been given the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. And the Holy Spirit has altered the way we live our lives. Light has come into our lives. And Paul encouraged the Ephesians to live as children of light and to have nothing to do with anything that put that in danger. But I think Paul is speaking of a greater motivation here rather than just not doing something. But he's asking the question, why would you ever wish to return to darkness? Why would you want to do that? Can you recall the darkest, deepest, most dreadful moment of your life when you were so far away from God, you were in a pit and couldn't see any way out, and you found Jesus and he lifted you out of that pit? Why would you want to go back to that? That's what Paul is saying. Why would you want to go back to that empty life? That dark life? Why would you want to do it? Once you were darkness, now you are light. We are a new creation conceived in light and living in light. And this is possible because we are in Christ. This recurring phrase throughout Ephesians, being in Christ. We are called to be fruitful. Because fruitlessness denotes there will be no harvest. So we are called to be fruitful people. Let's read verse 15 to the end of this section that we're going to be sharing today. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul urges us to walk not as unwise, but as wise. And this applies to us at a person level and also at a church level. Wise people will not fritter their lives away on unhelpful pursuits, but as it says in verse 16, make most of every opportunity. We only have a few chances, we only have a few years in the scope of eternity to make our lives matter. And we want to avoid squandering what God has given to us. For Paul says the days are evil. And since evil seems to be in control of the world at the moment, we as the saints of God, as children of light, must be alert at all times and carefully work to ensure that the gospel triumphs and the church remains strong. We must be filled with the Spirit, for it is the Holy Spirit who transforms our relationships with each other. At the very beginning of my talk this morning, I asked you the question, are you keeping well saved? Are we still walking in the light and being light? Are we a people of God who are growing and who are working out their salvation through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? The world, you, me, needs every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit to bring light into the darkness. That's the responsibility we have. This morning I got up a little bit earlier, went down to my study and was just seeking God's presence as I was preparing my heart and mind, and suddenly my computer pinged and I got a message, an email came through trying to sell me PPI or something, you know. And so I just erased it. But then I noticed that my antivirus software was doing something. And I clicked on it. And it was doing a total virus scan of my computer. And I looked and it told me it was going to be just shy of 18 million bits on my computer. It was going to scan them. Or to make sure it was clean. To make sure I had no viruses in my computer. 18 million. A deep scan. And my final words to you this morning is saying, what's God saying to you about your life? What's he saying to you about, are you walking in darkness or are you walking in light? Is he doing a scan of your life? Has he said anything to you today? Has he challenged you in any way this morning? For we are called to be children of light and not walk in darkness, because the world needs us to do that. Hope Church needs every one of us to be doing that, to be walking as children of light, because what happens to you matters to me, matters to each other. So let's seek God's help through the Holy Spirit to walk as children of light. The Lord bless you.
I think that's a very challenging word, and I wonder if we could just take a few moments just in quiet before the Lord, just to examine our own hearts. It might be that for a while you've known that there are some things that you're engaged in, or maybe patterns that have crept in and you desperately want to get free, but for some reason you keep going back. You know, the Bible talks about a dog going back to its vomit, and that's a really horrible picture, isn't it? But that's a picture of sin, and how often we go back to things that we know are unhelpful and even at times disgusting, things that damage us and damage others, but we go back to those things. And the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. We know that about him. But the challenge this morning from those passages of Scripture is that the world needs Christians to be walking in light, because the world is in darkness and they don't see. And it's our role as his children to be filled with light, and for our lights to emanate light into the dark places. So just for a few moments, just where you're sitting, I wonder if you could just close your eyes and just allow, with the Holy Spirit's help, just allow God to show you any areas of your life that aren't emanating light, but maybe would more closely resemble darkness. And then we'll just do some business in the Lord's presence, and just ask him to bring help into those areas, strength where we're feeling weak, where we keep going back to patterns of behavior that we know don't honor God, that he would break those patterns of behavior in our lives, that new patterns would be established more in line with the word of God. It all comes down to those final verses. Do not be drunk on wine, Paul says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're going to end this morning. But just in these few moments, would you just examine your heart before the Lord, just as we sit in quiet? The Lord has shown you something in your life, if he has, I want you to respond in the way that he's shown you. It might be in repentance. Repentance isn't just feeling sorry, it's making a statement that this is the way I've been heading, and it's actually been in the opposite direction from God, and I'm choosing now to change my mind and to change my heart and actually to change direction and head back to God. That's repentance. So it's not just being sorry, although godly sorrow leads to repentance, a change of our mind and a change of our heart, a change of direction of our lives. So it might mean that your response to what God's shown you this morning is repentance, and the Lord will help you to do that. It might be that he's shown you that there's a pattern of behavior that needs to be broken. It's a cycle of behavior that needs to be broken in your life, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to break that power in that area of your life and to set you free, so that new godly patterns can be established as we apply the Word of God in those areas. So just respond in any way the Holy Spirit's leading you to respond. And I'm going to pray for those especially who are stuck in cycles of sin, in patterns of behavior that are unhelpful for them and unhelpful for others. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, with the authority that we have as children of God, we come against everything of the enemy, Lord God, that would try and entangle us and keep us tied up so that we can't become the men and women of God that you want us to be. Father, and in Jesus' name, I break every chain in these people's lives, Lord God. And I pray, Father, for them, Lord God, that every spiritual power at work in them, Lord God, every act of the flesh, Father, every decision that has been dishonoring to you, Lord God, that those things, Lord God, the power of those things, Lord God, will be broken in their lives. And Father, new patterns will be established. We just speak over their lives now in Jesus' name, Father, that the new patterns will be established. Patterns of righteousness, patterns of holiness, patterns of godliness, patterns of that emanate light from their lives rather than keep them in places of darkness. Father, every chain that binds them now we break in Jesus' name. And we pray that they will be set free, Lord God, from those things that have bound them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to just pray for us all, if it's okay, that we would be filled, men and women, filled with the Holy Spirit. So would you just stand to your feet for a moment? And the great thing about being a Christian, of course, is that we know that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have been born again by the Holy Spirit. We're not just the same as we were with an addition of the Holy Spirit. We are brand new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. And when we ask to be filled with the Spirit, we're not asking for just an experience of God, a touch from God that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. We're asking for the presence of Almighty God to fill and saturate our lives. We're asking for His power to fill and flow from our lives. We're asking for His love, the divine love that we've been speaking about this morning, to come and fill our hearts and overflow from our hearts, the presence and the power and the love of the Holy Spirit. So just as these guys begin to pray, I want you to respond. There's a lovely bit that Jesus in one of the Gospels where he says, you know, even evil fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. Even evil fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask. So this morning, I want you to ask. I want you to ask your Father to fill your life full of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. Ask Him now to fill your life full of His presence through the Holy Spirit, full of His power through the Holy Spirit, full of His love through the Holy Spirit, full of His peace through the Holy Spirit, a life saturated, filled with, overflowing with the Holy Spirit and His presence. Reach out to Him now. Ask the Lord. Jesus. Yeah. So if you don't know how to ask, just pray this prayer. Lord, fill me. Fill me. And then just receive from Him, because He's more willing to pour out His blessing than we are often to receive it. So just ask Him, fill me, Lord. Just say that, fill me, Lord.